You're listening to WGTD-HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. This is Technology Matters, a show for the casual and non-professional computer user and gadget user, which airs on the third Saturday of the month. The show is hosted by Gateway IT instructor Christine Lazzaro, an experienced computer and high-tech gadget user. And also Dave Snedeker, a former IT graduate from Gateway Technical College and a resident of Kenosha, now living in San Diego.
And good morning, everybody. It's Chris.
And Dave.
And here we are with an exciting new show, and today we're going to talk about phones and games.
And things, yeah. It's always talking about things.
It's always talking about things, yeah.
Well, it's that time of the year. You know, leaves are falling. Some people are going to Florida for the winter. And the new iPhones are coming out because it happens every year.
Yes, and about the same time every year, isn't it?
Seems like it.
Yeah, so it was really funny. So now along with the new iPhones, we also get some new iGadgets.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of the people at work, and he was telling me that an Android friend of his said, yes, iPhone is now coming into the 21st century.
Yeah.
He's an Android fanboy, and, you know, of course, Android, you know, they've had their Google watches or Chrome watches or whatever they're called.
Have you seen anyone use them?
No. Have you?
No.
I don't understand the purpose of it. So what do? You have this watch and you press it when you get a phone call, but you still have to have your phone.
Yeah. From what they're saying with this new iWatch type thing, it's a watch you wear, and there are some apps which can run on it, but majority of the time it has the apps running on the phone itself and then sending stuff to your watch.
Right.
It's not what I was hoping. I was honestly hoping for a standalone wearable cell phone, or at least Wi-Fi only. I know it's unrealistic for mass market. I know it's going to happen, so we can all play Dick Tracy at some point.
Yes.
But it's cute. I really think it stems from Nike Fuel Bands, which are these the ones that would sync with your phone and record your heart rate and all these kind of fitness things, and it would go to your phone. But the problem with that was it was stuff that your phone did anyway, so it really wasn't too useful.
Right.
But,
you know. So I don't get the whole smartwatch thing. But I think what's significant, so let's talk about the iPhone 6.
Well, there's the iPhone 6 and the 6 Plus.
The right.
iPhone 6 is 4.7 inches long and about 2.6 inches wide. And then the Plus, which is even bigger because they want to compete with Galaxy or whatever, it's 6.2 inches long and 3 inches wide.
Yeah. So does that mean now that phablets are now that Apple has embraced the world of phablets, does that mean that phablets are finally going to be the thing? I mean, because y'all made fun of me when I got my Note 2 with its size.
Well, women's pants are already restrictive. Where are you going to put this? I mean, even in my pants, I don't think I can fit something like that in there.
Well, you know,
my pant pockets.
Yeah. And that's, you know, so now, you know, you got to have a holster, right? And you wear your phone on the holster and So that, you know, that's the thing. So doing a comparison of sizes, the iPhone 6 is diagonally about 5.5 inches is what they're saying. It is a 1080p, but do you really need a 1080p on your phone?
Of course.
Yeah?
We need to watch YouTube videos and cat videos in HD while waiting for the bus or whatever.
So the Note 4 is actually bigger than the iPhone 6 Plus, you know, because, I mean, diagonally, it's 5.7 inches. And then we cannot forget our Windows phones, because of course the Note 4 is Android. Now we have our iPhone. There is a Windows phone that is a whopping 6 inches.
Oh boy. Well, I guess the timing of coming with the iWatch and these iPhone 6s is good, because when you can't pull the iPhone out of your pocket, or you don't want to go through your purse to get it, or your man purse, you can just look at your watch and do whatever it is you're able to do.
Yeah.
I wish they had a normal size phone, quote unquote normal. I'm not sure. I'll probably skip this generation for right now.
Yeah.
Because the one I use, I like it. It fits in my pocket reasonable. It's about the size of my wallet, etc. I think these are too big.
Yeah. I mean, well, it depends on what you want to do with them. And that's how I defended my Note 2 when everybody made fun of me carrying this big, thing around. I said I was tired of carrying multiple devices, and that's basically the major thing was the e-reader, the ease of being able to see emails and send emails, because when you have a little bitty thing, I can't use the number pad, I need my QWERTY soft keyboard, but I want a big enough screen so that I can see things like when I text people, the few people that I do text, reading emails. I have to tell you that a big screen is quite nice for that. But I agree that 5.5 inches might be a little big.
It's coming close to being the size of the iPad Air or the iPad Mini, which is perfect for watching movies on, easier to do the things we mentioned earlier, like typing emails, etc. But it's too big.
Making calls, yeah. So with the iPhone, iPhone supports Bluetooth, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so you can conceivably have a Bluetooth headset.
Or a Bluetooth keyboard if you really need to, or, I imagine the watch will connect via Bluetooth too.
Yeah. Well, here, let's take a look with a new smartwatch. And as long as, Dave was making fun of me earlier that my IE kept, I said my IE kept crashing because I was opening way too many tabs.
Newsflash, Internet Explorer crashes for local radio host. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't use, well, I can get away with not using Internet Explorer because I'm not working in a business right now. So it's not a problem for me.
Yes.
But typically at work you have to use Internet Explorer.
Right. Well, because of the Microsoft thing. So what else is there significant about the iPhone 6 that people might be interested in? I did hear the battery life has improved.
It's something they're always working on. These phones are also very thin. They're about, let's see, I think it's, yeah, it's like 6 millimeters. And the Plus is like 7 millimeters. So that's, I think, thinner than the ones right now. So
right.
they're really packing it in there.
Yeah.
The one thing that really caught my eye wasn't hardware, it was their new Apple Pay. And this works with the iPhone 6s, which is disappointing. But you enter credit card information into your phone, and then all these, retailers to support this feature, you pay wirelessly. It's not Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. It's kind of like an RFID antenna, if I'm understanding it right. But the really interesting thing about it is it doesn't transmit your credit card information. It transmits a unique code to your based on your phone, and the credit card information isn't stored by the company at all. They're really beefing up the security of payment systems, because in America, it honestly takes a long time to do anything. And one of the big things that's been a sticking point is credit card security is lacking behind the rest of the world. So having something like this is a really nice option. and I wish more things would do it. Because I mean the big companies are getting hacked. Like right. Well, the big one was
Home Depot recently.
Yeah, Home Depot has got it. But yeah. when the quote unquote hackers are getting this information, they're getting names and credit card numbers. I'm no business expert, but why do these companies seem to store credit card information?
Well, yeah, and you know, and for that long, I mean, once the transaction has passed, I mean, yes, there is a time frame. I guess maybe the justification is on returns, because if you buy something with your credit card, then you return it, the credit goes back to the credit card.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, you know, so they do need to store something so that they know what credit card it was. But why can't they just store the last few numbers?
Yeah, and a previous job I worked at kind of did that, and that seemed a lot better. But I'm glad that they're looking at other things like this, and hopefully this kind of takes off. Because when you pay for it, you use your thumbprint to pay for it, so that's more secure. And of course, if your phone gets stolen or lost, you can log in via the iCloud system and remotely access it and wipe it all. You can also set your phone to automatically wipe if the password to get into the screen is entered 10 times wrong. So it's pretty secure.
But
it is new, and I like it. I'm just sad it's only for iPhone 6s.
Yeah. Well, and one of the big things with Apple is they bought two biometric companies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, you know, they can kind of get into a little bit more of this, you know, because that's the other thing that the iPhone 6 has, is the home button is now their thumbprint reader as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be an interesting thing. You know, we all know that there are Apple people out there who have to have the latest and the greatest, and they will flock to this. Whether the size of the 6 Plus turns them off, or they, you know, I'm hearing a lot of people saying, you know, I really do want that phablet. And so that's where, you know, I think you're going to have to compromise.
That's
with,
true.
You know, as you said, it doesn't fit easily in the pocket. Is it going to scooch out of the pocket and you're going to wind up dropping it? I don't know. You know, it's an interesting thing. With the Apple Watch, though, and a Bluetooth, you know, head little earpiece kind of thing, could be an interesting thing. I'm reading a little bit about the Apple Watch. It does have a haptic feedback, so it vibrates when you're receiving an alert, you know, like a phone call or something like that, and it does integrate with the phone. So the combination of the two, one of the guys from Apple described it as a comprehensive health and fitness device, walkie-talkie, and remote control for the Apple TV streaming box. So you're gonna press on your wrist to change the channel now.
That's getting, I guess it could be cool, but I don't know too many people who run an Apple TV these days.
Yeah.
But it's cool you can do it. But then the pain of getting it all set up, well, Apple isn't too bad with those. It's mostly just connecting automatically.
Yeah. So, I have to mention this because it's also, see, everything's Apple, Apple, Apple. We're going to have to get off the Apple subject in a second. But Sprint is launching a new program. It's called iPhone for Life. So if you're a Sprint customer, basically it's a long-term rental plan. You pay $20 a month along with your regular fees, you know, your regular Sprint plan. And then in 2 years, you can exchange your Apple for the next new one, your iPhone. You can exchange your iPhone for the next new one. But this is my issue with it. The $20 is only for the base model iPhone. And factoring that in, Dave and I quickly figured out that was $480.
Yep.
To rent the lowest level iPhone.
For 2 years.
For 2 years. And you get nothing. It just doesn't make economic sense to me.
Not as of right now. If you buy your phone, and you don't, because most people these days, when they're done with their iPhone, they either turn it into like a mobile device, or like a movies only kind of thing, or they give it to their children or a friend, or they sell it online.
Right.
And that you can get about $150-$200 depending on the condition and stuff. And there are also a lot of businesses that all they do is they buy used phones and then flip them. But
right.
with this lease type program, I don't think it's a good deal. In the future, I could see it being a contract bonus. Like, hey, if you sign up for a contract for 2 or 4 years or longer, you get this iPhone, as a lease. But
having
the additional fee, I don't think that price point is correct.
No. I think Sprint's gonna have to relook at their price point. You know, you compare it to leasing a car as opposed to buying a car, your lease payment is always considerably lower, and yes, you don't own it in the end, you turn it back, but, you know, if you're a car flipper the way I am, and you have fairly low mileage, then it makes kind of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But at that price point, it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Well, with this type of plan, especially in American businesses, most companies copy each other, and then, especially when it first comes out, things are fluctuating, and then it stabilizes. So maybe we'll see some competing plans that have a better deal in the future.
Yeah. I think that, you know, so the idea is out there, you know, let's work out the bugs, see how it grabs, and I think you're right. I think that ultimately you are going to, you know, see some other companies looking at this and saying, yeah, you know, I mean, if there's a popular, for example, you know, we talked a minute ago about the size of a Windows phone. Nokia has been the, kind of the flagship for the Microsoft for the Windows phones. So, you know, maybe, you know, there's something there where it's an, you know, kind of a partnership with Nokia and Microsoft itself that they
maybe.
Do something, you know, I can see them doing something like that. You know, I mean, let's face it, you know, half the time the phones are free just to sign a 2-year contract. You know, we'll give you this phone for free.
Yep.
And then, you know, the phone carrier, absorbs the cost along with, some of the others. So yeah, you know, it's just a new paradigm for smartphones, right?
Yeah, they are becoming more centralized to basically our lives, and, I am dependent on mine. I mean, for work, I look up stuff when I'm at work, I use a flashlight when I'm working on stuff, I use it for email, all my stuff's on there, and it's becoming more and more like the personal digital assistant of the future that we're watching like Star Trek and things like that. It's become very required and mainstream.
Absolutely. And, you know, looking at, you know, the fact that now all of the different OSs now have their talking phones, you know, iPhone started it with Siri. Windows has it now with Cortana, and Android has it as well. I think they have a talking assistant.
Probably.
You know, so you know, and what I find interesting about the talking assistant, can the talking assistant be far behind computers? And pretty soon we will be talking to our computers.
I mean, there is already speech recognition.
Sure.
Speech software for computers, like Dragon Naturally Speaking.
Right.
But because, for the most part, there's already a decent keyboard and mouse, that unless you have some sort of accessibility issues, like, really bad carpal tunnel, you're handicapped, whatever. That's the only time you would use something like that. And the reason it kicks off for the phones is because you're using a phone and sometimes it's hard to type. And even then it's kind of hit and miss. I think it'll only stay in the phablets and phones for right now. I don't see it moving to other computers.
Really? Yeah. Cause I look at everything getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And you're right, you know, with a computer, we've got the desktop, we've got the mouse, but wouldn't it be just so much more, you know, and I'm just looking in the future and talking about integrating houses and everything. You walk into your house and you say, computer, turn the lights up, you know.
Well, I think it's going to be a little different because if we're just talking about computers, we actually have to think about what do people actually use computers for? Mm-hmm. Because the people who generally use computers are generally gamers or people who need it professionally. Computing is at the point with phones, and tablets and iPad type devices where honestly the typical user doesn't need a computer anymore.
You can
take your photos, you can get a Wi-Fi enabled memory card so your phone can grab your camera pictures if the camera on your phone isn't good enough for you, so you can grab them off your camera, put them on your phone, take them on your phone, upload them to the cloud to back them up, email them to families, etc., put them on the social networkings, you can do your taxes, you can do everything. So in the future, I think it's just going to become more and more that, why am I, being Joe Schmo, going to spend $500 to $1,000 on a computer when I just have my phone and maybe a tablet?
Right. And that's kind of, you know, so the voice computer isn't for the business person necessarily or the gamer person necessarily, but it's for, you know, not completely productivity kinds of things.
No, I mean like the people who, I think what we're getting around is people who would want this in a computer. I'm saying those people don't even want a computer. And when I say computer, I mean desktop computers. If there's something integrated to the home, that's something different, that's kind of cool, but like a computer as we know it in the sense of a desktop computer, I don't think people are even looking for them now. Maybe laptops, and I think those are going away as tablets and iPad type devices get better and better.
Yeah. I can see your point, and I can definitely see the voice integration being more useful for, you know, the tablet aspect. And yes, you can get a Bluetooth keyboard and all of that, but if you just wanted to dictate a quick email, think about driving, and you need to send an email.
If you're driving and you need to send an email, you need to pull over. the one problem with these services, I'm not sure about the others, but for iPhones and iOS, you have to be connected to the internet to use their speech program. But maybe not for typing stuff, but for sure for everything else.
Sure.
And maybe that'll switch in the future, but it'll get interesting. I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah. Well, that's the fun about technology, isn't it? It's always changing and integrating and, you know, we're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
So let's flip the subject and let's talk about games. And the only reason I want to talk about this is because we obviously, you know, I don't play games much. Dave is so much more worldly when it comes to playing games. But the two games that I do spend a lot of time playing have news. Well, Sims 4 came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it had mixed reviews.
Well, I talked to my wife, Allison, who plays all the Sims and enjoys it. She likes it, but she's saying it's lacking in features. But I'm sure, the biggest thing I noticed was the pools are gone. But it's all these things that they'll just put on DLC packs and make you pay for it if you're not doing their premium thing. And that's how that game works. So, if you don't want to wait, I guess, play it now and enjoy it, and then you'll buy the DLC eventually, or wait to buy the game, then buy the DLC anyway. So, just take it at your own pace, I guess.
And this is, I guess this is my greater comment about, you know, that whole, and this is a lot of, fan anger, if you will. EA, is kind of doing that. Number one, the game is pretty expensive for being this kind of stripped down thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there, you cannot consider it a sequel on the original Sims because it is kind of a totally different thing. From what I understand, the emotions aspect is really, really interesting, the way that the Sims themselves interact and everything. But it's that business model that EA uses, where, like Dave said, you just buy a new DLC or expansion pack to get pulls. You buy a new expansion pack to get pull tables, to get a bigger world. And the base game is, what, $70, I think
really?
It was? Yes, that's what I'm saying, Dave.
What?
That thing is expensive. Yes. For this stripped down thing that, you know, was missing so many of the, you know, the fun features that we, you know, used to live. Like, for example, it's $70.
Well, the premium edition is $80 on Amazon. The online code is 60. But yeah, it's 60, mm-hmm. 70 bucks.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, so for me, my big enjoyment was I loved not so much building houses, but decorating. Mm-hmm. You know, picking out wallpapers and changing the patterns on the wallpapers and changing the colors. They call this create a style. That's gone. So, you know, there's these limits on the, you know, the variety of furniture and clothes and all that. It's kind of limited. And you don't have this ability to customize as much. I'm going to pay $70 for that.
And then you're going to pay $10 here, $5 here, $20 here.
$30 for the expansion packs.
Well, that's the expansion packs and the DLC mini packs, I'm sure,
yeah,
will be nickel and dimes.
Yeah, you know, so that's the, you know, that's the problem I have with that. Now, conversely, you know, my other favorite game is Civilization, and the new Civilization Beyond Earth is coming out October 24th, and that one is $50, and it's a full-featured, you know, with all kinds of exciting stuff.
Okay.
So, you know, do you play Civilization?
I have not played Civilization. Honestly, I don't play The Sims either.
Well, I know you don't play The Sims, but in Civilization is, to me, it's an intellectually stimulating game because not only do you have to have a certain strategy, what do you want to focus on? Do you want to, you know, because you have to build a civilization. Mm-hmm. Do you want to focus on knowledge, or do you want to focus on, you know, conquering the world with, you know, weapons or whatnot? And you have to strategize because the knowledge, the technological advances in the older Civilization game was kind of linear. So you had to get this one first, and then you could get this one, and you had to have these two before you could get this one. So, for example, if you wanted gunpowder, you had to first discover, you know, two or three others first before you could do there. And it was like a tree. So, you know, there's a whole plan, you know, this. Mm-hmm. The new one, number one, is called Beyond Earth, so we're gonna go conquer space.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, but the new technology is not so linear, and they explained it how there's leaves and branches. So you discover this leaf, all of a sudden there's a new branch. And,
huh.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, you know, paying $50 for this, you know, game that, you know, can keep you occupied for hours and months, you know, weeks and months, versus paying $70 for something that you're going to have to pay more and more and more to get such a rich game. Does that make sense?
No, and I've watched and listened to a couple of conferences about these, and at one of these video game conferences, when people were complaining about DLC, these little $5 add-ons, etc., the company said flat out, like, we wouldn't make them if you wouldn't buy them, because people are buying these, and they're making a lot of money for the companies, and that's why they keep doing this, is because they make them, and people buy them. There's been a couple pushes to, hey, don't buy this, let's do a port count, and it just fails. So it's just, it's the way it is, unfortunately.
You're absolutely right. Supply and demand, right?
I'm gonna go with fools or, and their money or something, something, something.
Well, look at the Facebook games, you know, and you know, because that's what you did. You know, you dealt with, you know, what did you call it? The micro.
Oh, microtransactions?
Microtransactions.
Yeah. I didn't play those, but I'm definitely aware of them. That is all the time for today.
Oh, okay. Okay. Dave was my timekeeper today, so.
Maybe we'll get into microtransactions a different day. I think we already have. Yeah.
Yes, we have. We have. We have. I just, you know, I was so excited about these two games, and so that was it. So.
School's back, so you can't play them right now.
Yeah. So no Apple next time. We'll talk about something, or no iPhone next time. So.
Sounds good.
Everybody have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.